Welcome to the Fabric Podcast and the start of Relationships That Work. You can find resources for your own reflection and for conversations with others at fabricmpls.com. We'd also love to hear some of those reflections and ahas through our website or by finding us on social media at fabricmpls.
Hi, everybody. This is Greg Meyer with Fabric Minneapolis. Thanks for joining me here in my bedroom, my makeshift studio, where I'm recording this message for podcasts and videocasts during our COVID-19 quarantine season. I gotta say, I miss you guys. You know, I'm thankful for all the ways we're managing to get together during this time, or should I say we're managing to get not together, but I'm really missing the chance to get together without the knot. So yeah, when that gets over, it's gonna be great. And I love digging into these topics with you. I mean, it's something I'm wired to do, but there's something missing when I'm talking to a camera and a microphone, and that something that's missing is you. At least right here with me right now. So thanks for being here wherever, whenever you are. I hope this is helpful to you. Okay? Anyway, I guess all that shows the strain that this is having on us socially, or let's say relationally. Whether the stay-at-home orders have you isolated with your people or isolated away from your people, I know that you are feeling stress related to it. Yeah, there's good stuff happening too, I'm sure. But there's a level of friction that none of us have ever had to deal with before. Now, you can quote me on this, okay? Relationships are hard. Now, the main reason for that is that they involve people. And people have this irritating habit of each being different. I mean, not everyone is like me or like you, I'm sorry. And they all want to have their own annoying habits and perspectives and preferences instead of the ones that you or I want them to have. And chances are we're not going to change that. It makes relationships hard. Yet at the same time, relationships are great. I mean, who doesn't look back at those highest moments of life when your heart's soaring, you feel so good, you feel so full of love, and it wasn't all about another person? Or what you were experiencing was so wonderful partly because of the people that you were doing it with. But still, relationships are hard. So I remember a day, this was a long time ago, I was at Barnes & Noble, the one in Southdale, because one of my kids' school choirs was singing in the atrium there. And as a young dad with young children, I mean, it was a mixed bag for me. I have always loved my family, and I found more joy there, and I still do, than anywhere else that I've ever been able to find it in my life. But to go back to that first quotable quote, relationships are hard. I mean, I didn't know exactly how to be a good father or a good husband. I mean, nothing worked all the time. I didn't know how to be a good friend either during this time when my time, my tension, my energy were all just tied up in, keeping the wheels turning. And that included with my job, which was another place I wasn't sure how to be a good coworker and a professional. You know, I knew I wasn't a total disaster at any of it, but I also knew that I wasn't ever going to be able to get a chance to do this over. And I wasn't doing it quite like I had hoped I could. Well, anyway, all this stuff is swirling around kind of vaguely in the back of my mind during this point in my life. And, you know, just am I the only one who has these thoughts, or does this sound vaguely familiar to you too? Oh, just me? Okay, well, humor me, will you? Anyway, so as I'm killing time at that Barnes & Noble that day, I saw this book on display of Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective Families. Seven Habits sounds pretty cut and dried to me. Always suspicious of that sort of stuff. And I was vaguely familiar with Covey with his business-related Seven Habits book, so I picked it up and I took a look. The first sentence just blew me away. I remember it to this day. Good families, even great families, are off track 90% of the time. Well, really? I mean, this book is for me. There's hope for me, really? I mean, I think I might be doing at least, you know, a little better than 90% off track. You know, don't ask my family, but in my estimation, I wasn't quite that much of a train wreck or a plane wreck, you know. I read on, Covey compared this experience that we were having relationally to an airplane, right? Did you know that an airplane is off course 90% of the time? That was news to me. I mean, sure, they all start out knowing that they're going from MSP to Denver, wherever, but there's wind, there's rain, there's turbulence and clouds, there's other air traffic. I mean, human error, you name it, whatever, constantly alters the plane's course so that 90% of the time, it's not going where meant to be going. I mean, the plane isn't quite on course. But as we know, the vast majority of flights, barring some major tragedy, do arrive where they're supposed to be. Now, how do they do that? Well, it's because they constantly monitor what's happening and where they are at that moment, and then they continuously are making adjustments accordingly to get back on track. I mean, sometimes there are major weather systems or huge traffic issues that can mean major changes to the route, but they don't give up on their destination and go back where they came from. No, they do what they need to do to get back on track when they can and as often as they need to. Do you get it? The point isn't that they are off track most of the time. The point is that they keep getting back on track. Now, you see, the hope of that airplane arriving is not based, or it's not even really affected by the deviations, the being off course. No, the hope is in the vision, the plan, the practiced ability to get back on track. The focus isn't on the 90% of not where they want to be, but on the how the other 10% is going to get used. Now, for you and your relationships, you know, whether it's with a life partner, with your kids, your siblings, your parents, your significant other, your friend, your coworkers, it doesn't matter if those relationships are off target and headed in the wrong direction or not. They can be okay. They can be not so okay. They can be a mess. What matters is that you have a vision for what the relationship can be like and that you've got a plan and the courage to keep coming back to it time and time again. So, what do great relationships look like? Well, not like you might expect. I mean, not like those perfect ones that sometimes get portrayed in movies or TV shows and books. After all, do you know what a perfect relationship is? Yeah, me either. The fact is that perfect relationships don't exist. Perfect doesn't exist. So great relationships look just like yours. I mean, they look like mine as they relentlessly come back to the flight path. Now, for the next 5 weeks, we are not going to tell you how to be the perfect friend, spouse, kid, parent, whatever. No, we are going to explore what being a great one is like, though. Okay, and here are a couple hopes that I have for you during these weeks. First of all, I hope that you will choose to be part of this conversation for all 6 weeks. Everyone is important. I think they will make a difference in your life, not because they are so brilliant. In fact, they are nothing that you probably don't know already. But it will be bringing you back to the stuff that you know and keeping it in front of you in a way that will help you have the courage and the skills to keep coming back to what you know. It's going to move your focus from the deviations from your course, which has a tendency to just captivate us and discourage us, to where you're headed instead. And that makes an enormous difference. I also hope that you're not going to be listening or watching this alone. If images of significant people in your life pop into your mind when you hear this idea that good, even great relationships are off track 90% of the time, it means that it would be a good idea to walk through this material with those people whose faces show up in your mind. You know, it's easier and it's safer to do it on your own, but it's a back on track and a courage thing to take this journey with the people that it matters to, okay? Third hope for me is that if you aren't in a group right now, you're going to get in one for this time. Here's why. You're going to find out that you aren't alone. And you're going to have a place outside of your own relationships to bounce off your ideas, your observations. And then you're going to be held accountable too. And you're going to do all those same things for the other people as well. Now, it's a small blessing of the coronavirus that geography really doesn't matter right now. So whether you live on the other side of town, or whether you live on the other side of the state, or whether you live on the other side of the country, or on the other side of an ocean, you can be in a group right now, or you can help start one. So if you need help figuring out how to be that or to get into one, let us know. Just go to fabricmpls.com/contact and let us know, and we'll help you out. Okay, my fourth hope is that you'll share this with others. Invite other people that you know who are just looking for some basic, hopeful help in their relationships. And I think that includes everyone, certainly would include me. The three strands of self and others and that which is bigger than any of us, they are woven deeply and broadly. So having more people that you know dealing with this at the same time, at the same level, will be making it more powerful for you and for everybody. Okay, back to great relationships. Dr. Lori, I can get that right, Dr. Lori Santos in the Happiness Lab podcast a week or so ago was interviewing Eli Finkel. He was a social science researcher who has invested statistically how natural disasters affect the quality of our relationships. And she asked him what this terrible pandemic and all the stress that's arising from it is going to be doing to our relationships. And he said that on average, it's going to make our relationships worse. But, he added, that it does give all of us an opportunity to make things even better. Now, that might sound like the ultimate positive spin to you. But hey, I mean, it's true. I mean, let's face it. If you've been stuck, you're certainly getting dislodged right now with all the change that's going on, all right? Now, if you just let it all play out and let the momentum of the stress have its way, then as Finkel says, you're more than likely to find yourself stuck all the deeper. You know, like the airplane who's always been pushed off by the wind and hasn't been correcting its course, and then suddenly gets hit by a huge gust and still isn't making corrections. I mean, it's now really off course. But if this present quarantine life can be a wake-up call for you, and the alarm that it is sending out is loud and it's strong, then that gust created by all of these extra pressures and worries of the pandemic that you are getting hit with right now may help you say, whoa, hey, I'm really off course. In fact, now that I think about it, I've been drifting for years. It's time to head back. Let's all do that. Let's all wake up and say, this is the time to make sure we are heading back. We've got the chance. So what does that all look like? Well, I'd like you to watch this scene or listen to the scene from the very first episode of Grace and Frankly, which was ironically being the first scene entitled The End. It's called that because the series starts with Grace and Frankie, two women who are connected by their husband's work partnership, being told by those husbands that the husbands wanted to end their 40-year marriages. Well, in this scene, Robert comes to speak to his wife, Grace, at the end of the day of the big announcement.
Grace, can I talk to you for a second, please?
I don't know. Not talking is your forte.
Well, I'm talking now, and I'm sorry. I just never thought you'd be this upset.
What did you think I'd be?
I honestly thought you'd be relieved.
Relieved? Really? Relief is what you're feeling. I'm feeling like the last 40 years have been a fraud.
Now, come on. Only the last 20 years were a fraud. That's a joke.
No, you don't get to do that. You don't get to pretend that this is nothing.
No, you're right. It is not nothing. And I should have told you a long time ago. But let's be honest. Were you ever really happy with me?
I was happy enough. So we didn't have the romance of the century, but I thought we were normal. I thought we were like everybody else. I thought this was life.
And I thought there was more.
I thought we were normal. I thought there was more. So, which of them was right? Here's the question. Do you settle for okay in your relationships? Or do you decide that the relationship isn't worth pursuing because you know that there could be more? Or do you really not have to choose between those two options? Here are a couple things about your relationships that I know. I know them because they're also true about my relationships. In fact, they're true about relationships in general. None of them are perfect, as we said. But more to the point, there are some problems in your relationships that will not be fixed. Let me say that again, because you need to hear this. There are problems in your relationships that will never be fixed. Let me give you an example. My wife, Chris, is a verbal processor. I'm an internal processor. Now, normally that is not an issue, but when the stakes are high, she needs to talk through everything to figure out what she thinks. And I need some space and some time in order to do the same thing. Now, you can probably imagine about how well that goes, right? She drives me nuts because she won't let me think, and I frustrate her because I won't sit with her and talk it all out. I mean, it hasn't changed. We've been married a while. there's a lot of other ways. You know, maybe it's your left brain colleague who has all the flow sheets and plan structures to solve all your company's problems. And you're that right brain person who wants to step back and use free-form experimental approaches. And then there's this other guy from left field who has no time for either of those approaches and just wants to get in there and start throwing stuff at the wall and making it stick. I mean, there are a million examples of how we are innately different people. And not only is it impossible to make all those differences go away, you really don't want to. I hope you can hear in those examples how there are problems within them, but there are also strengths. Diversity is a strength. It's a challenging one, but it's a strength. We're going to talk more about that in a couple of weeks, okay? Now, before I go on here, though, I want to make sure there's one thing that you hear. And that is, in all of these situations, all these relationships that I'm talking about, if you are in one in which you are experiencing abuse, okay, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, whatever, get out of that situation and seek help. For that relationship to get back on track, you need to land the plane and you need to get help. Okay, likewise, if there is a mental health issue that is pushing your relationship off course, you probably don't need to bail, but you do need to get help. Now, if you don't know where to go to get that help, contact us. We don't have the answers, but we'll help you get connected. Okay? All right. So, now all that said, there's something else to know about this, which is neither bad news nor good news. It's just plain news, but in it is hope. And that's this. Not only is there no path towards a great relationship that makes your relationship perfect or even fixed, neither is there any path towards a great relationship that avoids all frustration, disappointment, hurt, or regret. Those things are not the signs of a bad relationship, contrary to what you might be thinking. They are the signs of living. And unless I miss my guess, you do want to be living, right? I mean, people are complicated, and life has all sorts of intricacies and twists and turns. And many of them, like this COVID-19 season that we're in today, there's seasons and situations that we have little or no control over. See, joy in life isn't found in avoiding frustration and disappointment and hurt and regret. No, that's called postponing life. Joy is found in what we look for in the midst of those experiences or in the midst of anything else that we happen to experience in life. So, if your problem is that you're not perfect, and neither are your kids or your friends or your significant other, or that your relationships are full of stuff that aren't as pretty as you wish, welcome. Welcome to humanity, right? Those things are problems. I'm not going to sugarcoat them. They are. But they do not disqualify you or me or anyone from being able to have a great relationship. Remember, the determining factor of the quality of your relationship isn't in its deviation from the course, but on your ability to head back towards your destination. Now, another thing to know is for you to stop comparing your relationships to other people's. Just stop it, right? First of all, it isn't helpful. And second, it is almost always inaccurate. See, the problem is that you know your relationships from the inside out, including all the hidden and unspoken unpleasantness that is there. You were there for the battles and the meltdowns, and you've seen behind the curtains. But that's not what you know about other people's relationships. You see theirs from the outside, what they want to present in public. And most people kind of know how to behave in public. It's a real classic example of, you know, the real versus the ideal. You know the real of your relationships, but the only thing you see about other people's is the ideal. And believe me, there is a real version of theirs too. And it's not as pretty as what you see. The truth is that we are all a lot more alike in our struggles and our relationships than what you think. We all have that 90%, and we all need to learn how to use and how to practice using that other 10%. Frankly, that is one of the great things about being part of a group. As you meet over conversations that matter like this, you develop trust and you develop openness. They get to see you as a real person that you are, and you get to see them as a real person, the real people that they are. And the authenticity and the honesty that develop from that is irreplaceable, and it makes an enormous difference in our lives. Okay, so last week was Easter, right? And we talked about the point of Easter not being that Jesus conquered all the forces of death, leaving us to live free of all pain and hurt in the world. We talked about it that way because clearly that didn't happen, and we don't, right? Now, what Easter is about is Jesus telling us, actually, it's about Jesus showing us that what's worth living doesn't go away. It's worth living for even when it runs into roadblocks and dead ends and setbacks. The life worth living for isn't the life without imperfection, but the life that keeps turning its nose towards what matters, towards its destination, towards what's worth living for. That's why Jesus didn't keep saying, believe the right thing or be better people. No, what he kept saying was, follow me. He was creating a movement for imperfect people who have imperfect relationships with themselves, with others in the world, and with that which is beyond all of us that we know as God. He was helping create a movement to move back towards what is in our deepest hearts, those things that we know our relationships can be all about. Your relationships are worth living for. That's true even when you're off track. You probably are off track right now in some ways, and you are going to be again and again and again. And that's okay. It doesn't make them not worth living for. That's just the 90%. We all share it. What makes them so wonderful is your ability to head back towards what you want your marriage, your family, your friendships, your ecclesiology to be about. So take a breath right now. Just pause. Close your eyes maybe if that helps. And consider those people who make up your life. They're worth getting back on course with. Take some time this week. Pull up a picture of them. Be brave. Include those people in this conversation. Don't play the protect and pretend game. Yeah, I know. It's easier and safer to just kind of keep this as your own little thing. You're doing it in the background in case it doesn't work out. You know, no one's going to hold you accountable. But that approach doesn't change things. Be brave. We've all got a lot to learn. And it works a lot better when we all do it together. So I'll see you again next week as we continue this conversation about relationships that work. And we're going to look at how we get back on course when we've discovered we're not. Okay? And remember, good relationships, even great ones, are off course 90% of the time, and they can still end up where they meant to go. That was enough hope for me. I pray that it's enough hope for you too. Peace.
Thanks for listening. Keep this conversation going with the people in your life. Share this podcast and resources. If you're looking to support this work financially, go to fabricmpls.com/give. A 5-star rating and review will also help others find us. Thanks again.